Amen. There's only one book, the King James Version Bible, so I just want to make that clear. It's none of this not inspired version or any other kind of perversion. Amen? And so just make that clear. Good to see you tonight. May the Lord bless you. I'm glad you're back in the house of the Lord. And I feel like the Lord has helped us last night. And we pray that you got some help. And I know I did. And I come back tonight for more help. And so we pray the Lord will do that for us. And I do also want to say thank you for the good meal, Sister Brenda, that you have fed me. And you look at me and tell that I don't miss many meals. And so we kind of like that. But sure don't deserve it. Don't deserve this church allowing me to preach this week. And I mumbled with that. And there's a whole lot of other preachers out there that could be asked and could do a whole lot better job and much experience and all that. I just want to be a servant of the Lord. I just want to be a preacher that God can use and that God can bless, and that's my desire, my heart. And so continue to pray for me as we pray for you and ask God to do something for us here tonight. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Now, if you want the other 2 points of that message last night, you're going to have to go on the sermon audio. And we'll let you know what that is. Amen. At our church, we have a Brother Wade who has introduced to us a sermon audio, which is a company who we send every message I preach to that company, I guess, and then they send it out throughout the world. And we get reports back that over 8,000 people have heard the messages that we preached, and all the way all over Japan and Russia, even all over the United States. And so if you go to Sermon Audio, you can look up Glory Baptist Church and pull up that message, and you'll get the last 2 points. Amen? And so I really wanted to preach that tonight to please man. But God said, well, who are you going to please tonight, me or man? And so that's got to go be obedient to the Lord tonight. And in 1 Samuel chapter 4, we're going to read 2 verses there. And tonight we're going to begin there by reading the scripture. Then we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And we'll go there for a little while. And then we'll bring it back to 1 Samuel chapter 4. Tonight, I want to bring a message on the mistake to no revival. The mistake to no revival. And so if we stand tonight in honor of God's word, we'll read verse 21 and verse 22. And then we will move on to 2 Chronicles, but at the end of the message, we'll be right back to here. Verse 21 of chapter 4 of 1 Samuel says, as the Holy Ghost of God has writ, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Now turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 6, and we begin reading there, and about verse 40. 2 Chronicles 6 and verse 40. Now, my God, let I beseech thee, let thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, into the resting place, thou and thy ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord, be clothed with salvation. Let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away thy face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of prayer, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord, glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Father, I come to you this evening, Lord, with an humbled heart. And Father, I'm asking tonight, God, you just help me to be able to preach the Word of God. Father, I believe tonight, dear God, the task is too great. God, the very job, the very work, dear God, that you ask us to do, Father, the flesh can't not do. We're asking tonight that you'll fill me and anoint me with your Spirit. God, that you'd humble me, Lord. God, that I would stay right where you want me to be. God, that I not veer off any place, but God, stay right with what you'd have me to say. God, I pray for the revival tonight. I pray, Father, that the fire would fall. I pray, God, that the glory would fill this house. We beg you tonight, we beseech you. God, we ask you to help us to understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight is my prayer, is that you are broken tonight, knowing that we need revival. I believe last night the message, if you was here last night, you had to leave or should have left in a state of saying, you know, I need revival. I think I'm living more like the crazy man than the Christian. I believe that I need revival. I know I need revival. Tonight I pray that that brokenness is in you. Tonight, if you are really searching for revival or you're just coming to a meeting, I don't know. If you're really wanting the glory of God to fall, if you really want the fire to come down tonight, then the very beginning is you ought to have a heart tonight that's just broken. Just broken for the way and the how that I am. And second thing tonight I want to pray, that is that you have a burden that's been laid upon you, and you knowing that the burden tonight is this, that the judgment of God must first begin in the house of God. Tonight the burden tonight ought to be on you. You're the house of God. You're the church tonight. And if revival will ever take place, it's going to be not on the White House. It's not going to be on the United Nations. It's not going to be around the world. It's going to be right here in the house of God. Amen. And so tonight, not only should you have a brokenness of that you need revival, but you ought to have a burden tonight, a weight that is sitting upon you, and that if there's going to be a revival, it's going to have to come through this house, and I'm part of this house, so it's going to have to come through me. Tonight, if we're ever going to reach the lost in the world, if we're ever going to reach those that are dying and going to hell, that burden must be laid upon the house of God. Amen. Tonight, if we're ever going to reach those that don't know God, friend, we're going to need revival in Calvary Baptist Church. Tonight, if we're ever going to regain the country back, if we're ever going to see America as America was in the past, if we're ever going to see America of that land that was free, in that land of opportunity, in that land that was built upon the Bible and Christ and God, if we're ever going to see our country come back to its morals and its mind and its manners, then it's going to take you and I tonight in the house of God to get revival. The burden is laid upon us if we're ever going to recover our families tonight. We got to come to the place where the burden is laid on me. That it's going to be the house of God that's going to be judged first. And if my family or our families are ever going to come back to God, if they're ever going to know God, hey friend, tonight if we're really honest with ourselves, there's members of our family that are sodomites, members of our families tonight that are drunkards and whoremongers, and members of our families tonight that are drug addicts and thieves and those that steal and those that lie and those that are fornicators and adulterers. If we just be honest tonight with God, we would know that we need revival. If we're ever going to recover our families, it's got to come to the house of God. I'm just praying tonight that this burden is laid upon you. I just pray that this brokenness is within you. I just pray tonight that you and I can just believe that God will revive. Tonight, can you just believe? I'm just asking this in the way of introduction now. Can you tonight just believe that America can be regained? Can we believe tonight that we can reach the world for Christ? Can we believe tonight that we can recover our families? Can we believe tonight that revival can come to our hearts? Tonight it just seems like in the church we got a hard time of believing anymore, Brother Gary. Especially in the independent fundamental Baptist churches. We just don't believe anymore. We don't believe God can save anymore. We don't believe God can heal anymore. I wonder if God, if Sister Norma, just get up off that chair and just begin to walk. Can you believe that tonight? You say, oh, now we're getting to charismatic and we're getting to Pentecostal. No, we're getting to God. Believe tonight. Believe God can send revival. Believe God can save. Believe God can heal. Believe that God can provide. Believe that God can reconcile families. Believe that God can add. And believe that God can still revive. Tonight I just want to pray that that burden be laid on us. That brokenness in you. And that would you just believe tonight. And I believe tonight if we could. And whenever there's a belief and there's a burden and there's a brokenness, you're going to find it's where the glory of God is at. Hey, man, may I ask you a few questions tonight and we get in the message. When's the last time the glory of God has fell in Calvary Baptist Church? When's the last time you've seen tonight that God's glory has fallen on this church? When is it? Can you remember? The day and the time, the night, when the fire from heaven has come down into your heart and your soul at Calvary Baptist Church. When's the last time? I don't know. When is it tonight? Well, I would say that where the glory is revival. Tonight, well, I notice that back in chapter 4, I notice that the Bible says that the glory has departed from Israel. You read that, right? And then we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1 through 3. And the Bible says that the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now my question to you tonight is this. What happened? Why in one place the glory was departed, in another place the glory was filled? What took place tonight? Why in Calvary Baptist Church has the glory departed? Or why would the glory fill? Why tonight in your own heart? Why has the glory of God departed? And why would the glory of God fill? Oh, tonight what happened? What was the mistake? What went wrong? We want to examine this. Why the glory filled in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And in verse 40. The Bible says in chapter 7 though, in verse 1, as we examine the glory of God filling that house, we want to examine that because we got to understand tonight, what's it going to take for the glory of the Lord to fill Calvary Baptist Church? And then we're going to figure out how tonight that we can, what mistake can we make that will cause the glory of God to depart from Calvary? Amen? I want you to notice number one tonight in chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, and when Solomon had made an end of prayer. I want you to notice tonight, in order for this Calvary Baptist Church, in order for you as an individual to be revived and the glory and the fire would come, you're going to have to pray to God. Hey, buddy. Brother Gary said, y'all been praying a lot, and y'all been praying and this, praying and that, and I'm so glad that you have, and we appreciate the prayer tonight. But what I have noticed tonight concerning prayer of people, and mostly men, I don't hear women preach. I hear women pray much, but when are we going to stop saying the prayer and pray the prayer, Brother Gary? Why is it when men pray, they say the same thing? All the time. The same words. The same phrases. The same thoughts. It's the same thing. It's monotonous. It's causing sleepiness. It's causing nauseousness. It's causing us not even to want to hear you pray. Because all you are is repeating words. All you are is giving statements. All you're doing is just saying something that you've always known and you've always said. I like to hear people pray for their meal. And they say the same thing. Lord, thank you for the food. Thank you for the day. May the Lord bless you. Amen. And they go on and eat. They say the same. That ain't no prayer. When men pray tonight, when are we going to stop just saying it and start praying it? Amen. How many times we just say the same thing? I mean, you call somebody to pray. You know what they're going to say. You might as well not even say it because we already know what you're going to say. Can I say tonight, praying to God, and this is what needs to be prayed.
Number one, the first thing I notice as Solomon prayed is in verse 41. He says, "Arise, O Lord God, arise." If you notice in those two verses, you say, "O Lord God," four times. The first time he says, "O Lord, arise." That word "arise" means stand. And the prayer that's going to bring the glory of God and revival to Calvary Baptist Church and to the hearts of Calvary tonight are those who are going to begin to pray and ask God to arise, God to stand, God to get up, and God to move, and God to, wherever you're at in the third heaven on your throne, up there in your resting place, we're asking you to stand and get ready to come down to Calvary. Not to arise, but Lord, if you would apply. He says in verse 41, he says, "Apply, O Lord God." He says, "Let thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation." In other words, he's saying, "Lord, would you just please take our pastors and take our preachers and take those that are saved and born again and those that are walking with God, and would you just deliver them? Would you just rescue them? Oh God, would you just give them victory tonight? Would you apply the forgiveness and apply the mercy and apply the grace on those who love God tonight? And arise and apply your grace." See, tonight we're not going to find revival anywhere unless God applies salvation on us. And God, we've got to pray for it. God, I'm asking you, hey, can I just say this tonight? I mentioned this to Brother Gary and Sister Brenda. But, you know, when we get into prayer, into a prayer request, and we talk about, Brother Gary and I do, and most churches do, they say, "Okay, make a prayer request." You know what most people do tonight? They'll raise their hand and say, "Oh, brother, pray for my sister, pray for my mother, pray for my daddy. They're sick and they're ill and they've got a disease and they've got that." And man, that's wonderful. We need to pray for that, and I'm not discounting that at all. Then somebody says, "Okay, I've got somebody over here who's out of a job, out of work, and boy, I tell you, it's getting tight on finances. Pray for them." And I got one over here and say, "Okay, Brother Larry, I got some grandchildren going to college, and boy, I need you to pray for them." And over here, I got some other people saying, "Hey, listen, man, I tell you, this family's about to end in divorce, and this guy over here is on addiction of drugs, and alcohol is eating him alive, and oh, pray this." But have you heard anybody just raise their hand and say, "Hey, Brother Larry, I'm just going to ask the church to pray for my alcohol problem. That God have delivered me from that. That God have delivered me from the pornography problem I got. I watch some naked women on the TV when the TV shut up. I watch them on the internet. When the internet shut up, I go see a book. When the book shut up, I go look at a movie. Hey, old preacher, listen, church, I need some deliverance. I ask God to apply salvation upon me. Would you just pray that I just get over these cigarettes? I'd put this dip down. I'd stop being a level-headed Baptist where it flows down on both sides of your mouth. And I'd just start serving God." Have you heard any bad prayer requests like that? Have you? Have you? No, we don't. You know why? Because we're not really interested in getting right with God. Now, wouldn't it be good tonight to know that if we stood up tonight and somebody in this room says, "I got a problem cussing." Bible says, "Curse not. Let not filthy communication proceed out of your mouth." And you'd raise your hand. You'd say, "Listen, Brother Larry, I've got a problem cussing. I just say them four-letter words and they flow out of my mouth. I don't want to, but they do. And I'm asking the church to pray for my mouth." How would you like 30 people to pray for you? That God would apply salvation on your life and deliver you and rescue you. Now, wouldn't that be good tonight? Amen. Wouldn't you find some sort of revival in that? Yes. Now, what's wrong with us tonight, church? We don't want nobody to know we cuss. You know, the one who really knows is God, and you don't want nobody else to know. If I was in the shoes, I would say, "I don't want God to know, and I want you to know." That was more safe for me. That was a side note. Tonight, prayer to God is, "Arise, O Lord, stand. Apply, O Lord, salvation." And then he says, verse 41, it says, "Allow, O Lord God." Look what he says. He says, "O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Let thy saints rejoice in goodness." In other words, he says, "Lord, let me just pray." And I'm talking about us praying to God. "God, allow us to be satisfied. That we may just rejoice in thy goodness. Oh, God, help me stop being so negative. Amen. I mean, talk about that negative stuff. I mean, everybody's negative all the time. Amen. Everything's falling to pieces. Everything's going no good. All the world's going to a pot. We got more of this and more of that. And I tell you what, if you listen to somebody talk, you want to commit suicide. But the fact of the matter is tonight, if we want revival, we got to pray to God. We got to ask God to do something for us. And that is tonight that God would arise, that would stand, that God would apply salvation, and that God would allow us to be happy and satisfied. Because in my own flesh, and in my own life, in my own situations tonight, in my own circumstances that I have personally tonight, I can't find no satisfaction nor any happiness. And neither can you. Because the majority of you tonight, if you want to get out of your, well, you want to get somewhere to get some happiness, you might get a little wine cooler. You might throw down a little cigarette, throw down a little pill, get a little medicine. Instead of meditating upon God, you take medicine. Brother Jimmy said it one time. He said, you know, it's a better world on chemicals. All I'm saying tonight is this, friend, is we got to pray, ask God, allow us to be satisfied. Because in our own account, in our own flesh, we can never be that away. And we can't never be happy and joyful, amen. We always got something to gripe about. We always got somebody down. We always got somebody to talk and gossip on, amen. I mean, listen, friend, any conversation, any man, while we go right before a prayer meeting, we talk about everybody and their dog. We can talk about satisfaction and joy and happiness in God. And we want revival. About time we begin to pray, fellas, that God would allow us to be satisfied. We ask God to arise and stand, and we'd ask God to apply salvation. And then fourthly, verse 42, the prayer is, attend, O Lord. He says, O Lord God, turn not away thy face from thy anointed. Remember thy mercies of David, thy servant. And all he's saying there is this, Lord, show up. I wondered this evening, and you say, Brother Larry, I don't want to be trying to be negative tonight. And I know a lot of people say, you preach negative, Brother Larry, and you can just whatever you want to say. But the fact of the matter is tonight, I just want to be truthful. And I want to be honest. It's my heart's desire that God's glory would fall on Calvary and that fire would come down tonight. And I'm going to do my very best tonight with the help of the Lord to preach the Word of God in such a way that I won't get in the way, but I get out of the way and allow that to take place. But what we need tonight, in seriousness, in all seriousness tonight, is that we come to the place and we say, God, we want you to show up tonight right here at Calvary. I wonder how many got up this morning and fell on their face before God and say, boy, dear God, I'm so glad I get to go to church tonight. I'm going to go down there and we're going to sing some songs. We're going to hear some preaching. And boy, we're in a revival meeting. And boy, today could be that day. I expect you to come. I got hope in my heart that God will revive us. And God will not only make me better, but God will make me alive. Oh, how many done that? Who got up eating their Fruit Loops? Who got up putting their pants on and their paint on and who got up putting their shoes on and griping about the day and having to go to work and messing around in the jungle in which we live and going through all the problems we've got and all the situations we face and all the difficulties and all the pains and aches that we've got. And then all of a sudden we drag ourselves on down up to the revival meeting, hoping that God may help us up there. And friend, the fact of the matter is we ain't prayed to God not one time. And we want God to do something that we don't ask Him to do. Ain't that something? I like to see you get saved without asking God that He saved you. Huh? I like to see you get married when you don't ask nobody to marry you. I like to see you get a job when you don't go ask for any. Amen? Oh, dear God, help us tonight. I'm just trying to get, this is the introduction. I'm trying to get to this other in Samuel. The prayer to God. But then I notice the presence of God. Tonight, I want, as we examine the glory that's filled, this glory is the presence of God. The Bible says three times in verse 1, 2, and 3, it says, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Amen. And we say it three times. Tonight, what does that mean to you and I? Well, I want you to see, first of all, that the fire came down. Yeah. Now, when the fire came down, it was preceding the glory filling. In order for the God's glory to fill Calvary tonight, there's got to be the fire that comes down first. And the fire is always indicating, and what it's indicating tonight is this, is that God has accepted the sacrifice. Look what it says. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. Now listen, the fire would not have came down if he wouldn't have prayed. If you're not able to pray tonight, the things I prayed, I told you to pray about in chapter 6 tonight, you'll not have a revival, you'll just have a meeting. The presence of God, it says, and because of the fire, it said, it consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice. Now what happened there? Well, God sent the fire down, and what he was indicating was that I accept this sacrifice. Now there's a couple sacrifices that you and I are able to make tonight. The first sacrifice that I know of is a sacrifice of Hebrews. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 15. It talks about the sacrifice of the lips. It goes like this. Sacrifice of praise that is in the fruits of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And when we find ourselves making that kind of sacrifice unto God, you'll find that the fire of God will come down when God gets praise, when God gets honor, and God gets glory, and God gets lifted up, and He gets magnified, and He gets exalted tonight. When your lips begin to praise of thanksgiving and gratefulness, and say, oh God, I'm not mad, I'm happy, I'm glad, where You got me. I am where I am by the grace of God, and I'm not complaining about it. Oh, I'm not murmuring over it. I'm just telling you, you've been good, and you're getting gooder and gooder. The fire fall down when the sacrifice of lips. But then also another sacrifice, a sacrifice of life. Romans chapter 1. And it goes something like this. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and unto God. Oh, friend, when you find yourself that you're having a living sacrifice unto God, and you got a lip sacrifice unto God, you're going to find that God's going to send the fire. And what He's saying to you and I when He sends that fire is, I accept that sacrifice. Amen. The problem with many of us tonight, our lips and our life don't match. You talk a big game. You blow a lot of smoke. You boast a lot. But your life don't equal to what you say. Your words and your walk don't matter. Tonight, people, you know what? People are listening to your walk more than your words. That's why the fire won't come. If the fire don't come, there'll be no revival. There'll be no revival, friend. We've lost everything. Have you noticed tonight? Now, let me just say this tonight, too. Have you noticed tonight in my church and in your church and in Parkwood's church and other churches that I can point to, there sure is a lot of old folks in there. Have y'all noticed that? Do you notice our churches are getting older? Yeah. Not the building, the people. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm getting older too. But when us generation is gone, there goes Parkwood. Yeah. There goes Calvary. Yeah. And there goes glory. Mm-hmm. You know what we need tonight? We need God to accept our sacrifice. And that is a sacrifice of lips and a sacrifice of life so that God can come on down and send that fire upon us tonight. Amen. And that glory may fill this church and that God's presence will be so real and so upon us tonight. Can I say secondly, that when the fire came, it means that God accepted the sacrifice, but it also meant tonight that God was approved of the house. Because then He says that the glory of the Lord filled the house. God will never fill something that He don't approve. God will never put His presence in something that He does not give a check on. Amen. And I can say this tonight, that at this time that the house of God has now been completed, the house of God has now been dedicated, and now we see the house of God being saturated. Amen. And friend, once that place was saturated and God came upon it, what He was saying was that I have given an approval, I have given the okay, I have given the authority, and I have given the leadership that I'm going to place My presence in this house. Can I just say tonight, I wonder if God has saw an approval amongst these people of this house that He would fill this house with His glory. God's not going to fill His house. God's not going to send revival just because we want it. God's going to send revival whenever He approves of it. Well, tonight, you that are saved tonight, can I just say that you are the temple of God, by the way? And you being the temple of God, which would be equivalent to the house of God here. Friend, the house of God there was completed. When you got saved, you was completed. Amen. I mean, when you got saved, it's completed, man. I mean, Jesus Christ, He completed us. We're complete in Christ. There's nothing else going to be done for our salvation. We're done. We're finished. It's over. It's just like we're in heaven. We're sitting in heavenly places tonight. We've been forgiven. We'll never go to hell. We'll always go to heaven. We become an inheritor of God and taking on the nature of God. We're completed. But not only are we completed, Brother Gary, but we are also dedicated. Because, see, when you get saved and born again, the Holy Ghost of God comes into you and you get sanctified. And that word sanctified means that you have been dedicated unto God. And every day of your walk is this tonight. The Bible says that the very life that you will live after you get saved will be that you become conformable unto the image of His own dearly darling Son. Amen? And every day of your life, the work that He began, He will finish. And the work that He began, will you become like His Son. Every day, every day, every day, somebody ought to look at you and say, I see Jesus more in Him today than I did yesterday. I wonder who ever said that to you. You like Jesus more today than you was yesterday? That's the work of God of sanctification. And so we find a dedication in this temple. Let me tell you something tonight. What we're seeking for is a saturation in this temple. I'm talking about us that are temple of God. We've been completed, brother. We've been dedicated. But all we need now is a saturating.
Amen.
Huh? That's revival. Revival when God saturates us. When God is the one that gives the approval to fill this house. I'll tell you something else, two more things tonight, is I notice that in this scripture in chapter 7, they indicating that God says, I answer prayer. Because the reason why that the fire came and the glory filled was because of the answered prayer. Not only because of the authority and the acceptance, but because of the answered prayer. Number three, I'm going to go forward quickly. Number four, I know it's because of the accounted for the sin. I want you to notice that He consumed the burnt offering. The burnt offering, always represented tonight, was the burnt offering for sin. Amen? And when God sent that fire and He consumed that burnt offering tonight, whatever animal it might have been, that word consume means eat. And God ate of that tonight. And that burnt offering was accepted by God. But now it was accepted by God. He accounted to it. He took it tonight. He took it as His own tonight. In other words, He said that your sins are forgiven. And you are pardoned. And you are purged. And you are right with Me. And yeah, you are straight with Me. There's nothing between you and I. I have consumed that burnt offering. And tonight, can we stand before God? And God may send the fire. And when He sends the fire, what He's saying to you and I? Is I have taken your sin and forgiven you. So I'm talking about revival tonight, real revival that takes place in real lives and real churches. I'm not talking about fake stuff. I'm not talking about panty waist stuff. I'm not talking about stuff that's off the internet and stuff that's going to happen tomorrow. I'm talking about stuff that can happen tonight. When you start confessing your sin, boy, you'll find the fire fall. Amen? Let me say this about confession of sin. You know what? Last night, I got to apologize because I quit it at 8:30. And that's what time I quit at my church. Because we started at 7. So I cut myself off 30 minutes last night. I was mad about that. I had to get right with God. Confession of sin. Oh, but can I say tonight, confession of sin. Really, do we confess sin? Heard a guy on the radio, and I'm going to tell you what I've been doing. I used to listen to talk radio on channel 10, on 1070 and 610 and 740. Now I get on all the things that are going on in Benghazi, and I got in all the lowdown over there in the NSA, and I got over in the White House, what's happening in that area there. I was everywhere where I ought to be. So I said, you know what I'm going to do after our revival meeting? I said, I'm just going to listen to preaching every day, all day long. I'm not going to listen to music. I ain't going to listen to nothing. I was going to hear prayer. I don't care what's going on out there. I don't give a rip what happens out there. If the rapture happens, I'm gone out of here. I know I won't miss that. The only thing that I might not miss. I've been listening to preaching. This one guy said, he went to a meeting. He said, and when he got there, the preacher asked him, he said, listen, man, we need a prayer revival. And boy, he said, can you start us out? He said, yeah, sure, I can do that. Well, it started out on that night, that Saturday night before Sunday. And they were at 10 o'clock, they began to pray. He walks in and says, hey, fellas, he said, we're going to pray in three rounds. There's 18 guys. Three rounds? That's kind of odd. He said, oh, I know it's kind of odd, but that's what we're going to do. He said, the first round, all we're going to do is confess sin. That's all we're going to do. We ain't going to do nothing else. Just confess sin. Don't ask for nothing. Don't praise nothing. Just confess. One guy started confessing. Man, he's just telling it, man, just as it is. Another guy, 18 guys, they all doing it. Man, they're out there crying. They're weeping, telling God to forgive. A guy said, oh, yeah, God just brought that to my mind. God, forgive me. Everybody's confessing their sin. 2.5 hours later, they get to the second round. Second round was, just all you're going to do is you're going to thank God. That's all you're going to do, just praise Him. You're not going to ask God to forgive. You already done all that. You ain't going to ask God to give you squat. You're just going to just ask God and thank Him, praise Him, give Him glory, give Him honor. That round went by. Everybody giving Him honor, glory. He said, boy, it was getting on by that time. He said, I thought I was in some kind of other than a church. He said, the third round was, all you're going to do is just ask God. You're going to give petitions. You're going to give requests. That's all you're going to do. He said, 6.5 hours later. He said, people were laid out on the floor. They were laid out everywhere. They was raising their hand. They was raising their leg. They was raising their voice. They were telling God. He said, man, listen, it was on. That week they had revival. Many people got saved. People come back to church, got right with God. I mean, man, people quit this and started that. And you find all kinds of things going on tonight. And I'll tell you what happens, church, is whenever you and I can get to the place where we start confessing our sin, and we can start confessing our sin to one another. By the way, that's what the Bible teaches, amen. Confess your sins to one another or your faults to one another tonight. We might find some revival coming on, but we got to start confessing our sin. So what I did, one Sunday morning, Brother Jimmy came in and Brother Raymond came in. We was hoping others would come in. I said, guys, we're going to pray a little different. We're going to pray in three rounds. First round is we're going to pray confessing our sin. I encourage you to do this, Brother Gary. I asked all these men to come and do that with them. Brother Jimmy started. He confessed his sins. We almost didn't have time to confess our sins. Brother Raymond started confessing his sins. Man, I should have went first, man, because God was laying it on me. Man, things I said, things I thought. Man, how I was with my wife, my children. I was short there. I wasn't right there. Told a story there, lied there, lust there. Thought wrong there, bad attitude here. I mean, God was just beating me up, and I just started confessing. Started confessing. Time got by. We probably prayed longer that day than we ever prayed before. By the time we got to go because the church started, we didn't get to the second round. Because we didn't get through with the first round. Boy, but it was sweet that morning. It was sweet that day, wasn't it, brother? It just seemed like there was a peace upon God right there. It just seemed like, man, God was just speaking to our hearts and speaking to our lives. You know what I got problems with tonight, church? I got problems with men who come to the prayer meeting and don't pray. If you come to the prayer meeting and don't pray, there's only several reasons why you don't pray. And don't come up with this reason, because I don't want to. That's not a good reason. I don't want to pray because I don't want nobody to hear me, because I'm shy and I don't know what to say. And that's a bunch of nonsense. You know what a prayer meeting's for? Can I just tell you, this is profound. To pray. We don't have a prayer meeting to listen. We had a prayer meeting to pray.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what we do. That's like going to a singing and nobody says nothing. We're just listening. Nobody's singing, but we're just listening. Yeah. Something wrong, church. We can go to a prayer meeting and the men don't pray. Something's wrong with our hearts. Because, friend, when you get the glory filled in you and the fire falls, you're going to want to pray. I mean, you can't help but pray. Amen. And the first thing you're going to start praying is, oh God, confess of my sin. You know what tonight, some friend? We're so worried about somebody might know that I got a bad thought. We're so worried to know tonight that I might have watched a TV show the other night and saw somebody naked and kissing. We're so worried about somebody think that I might have a dirty mind when I see somebody. I think dirty thoughts tonight. But would it be to God that we confess it to one another and get right with God and get clean and allow God to pour His life into us tonight? Oh, can I say tonight? Not only did the fire fall down, but the Lord stepped down. Boy, after that fire tonight, we see the Lord step down. And boy, when the Lord stepped down, and I want you to see tonight that word and all, and it said filled. You see that tonight? The word filled in verse 1, the glory of the Lord filled. You know what that word filled means tonight? It means to be full of. To be full of. That word filled means tonight to have holy. Well, listen closely tonight to this word filled. To have holy. To be tonight, to be full of. It means completely tonight. And if you look there in verse 2, the Bible says, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord. Why could not the priest enter into the house of the Lord? They've done it 100,000 times. Why couldn't they? It's right there in the Scripture. Because the glory of the Lord filled the house. What does that mean tonight? That there was no room for anything else. Absolutely, friend. There was everything else in the house had to go. Because when the glory of God came into the house, everything else was out. And tonight, when the glory of God will fall on Calvary Baptist Church tonight, you'll find that the devil will be dismissed. You'll find that sin will be exposed. You'll find that lives will be restored. You'll find that families will be reconciled. You'll find that differences will be fixed. You'll find that problems will be solved. You'll find, friend, that there's no room in here for bad attitudes. There's no room in here for those that are wrong and wicked spirits. There's no room in here for adulterers and adulteresses. There's no room in here for fornicators and whoremongers. There's no room in here for unrighteousness. Because the glory will fill this house and there's no room. Now tonight we are the temple of God. And when God's glory fills us tonight, there'll be no room for lies. There'll be no room for jealousies. There'll be no room for bitterness. There'll be no room for hatred and unforgiveness. There'll be no room tonight for just looking at people and lusting after them. There'll be no room tonight. In the heart of every child of God, when the glory of God fills them, because the Bible says it takes them holy. You are completely full, Brother Gary. Every evil thing must go. Every sin must be banished away. For everything within you is out. That's revival. That's revival, Brother Gary. Oh, we see tonight that they couldn't even enter in. Oh, God. We're the temple of God. Are you crammed full tonight of God? Tonight, are you completely filled with God? Are you tonight? Is there no room tonight for the devil? Is there no room tonight for an attitude? Is there no room tonight for sin and pride and unbelief? Is there any room tonight for your flesh? Tonight, when the glory falls, you'll find your flesh will be removed out. Tonight, I would believe tonight that all of us in this room that's saved and born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb tonight would say, dear God, I desire in my heart to have me filled with your glory so that I cannot have any room for flesh and sin and unbelief in my life. I would think that would be so. Well, then lastly tonight in this way of introduction, there's the praise in God. I want you to notice in verse 3, the Bible says, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, this was after the fire fell. This was after the glory filled. The Bible says three things took place. And if glory, if God would just approve that His glory would come tonight after His fire that would fall, not only in this house, but in this temple, three things would be evident that that took place. The first thing tonight is that your flesh would surrender. Huh, Brother Jimmy? Your flesh was written. Look what it says. They bowed down on their face onto the pavement. That's what it says, Brother Gary. The flesh surrendered. I wonder tonight, does anybody just want to say, I just want to surrender my flesh. My soul, not my flesh. Oh, I'll tell you my flesh. I'm going to tell you how to surrender your flesh tonight. You begin to pray. Ask God to rise. Ask God to apply. Ask God to allow. Ask God to come. Oh, then I'll tell you what happens next. And the fire falls. You begin to confess your sin. You begin to get right with God. You begin to give all to God. Next thing you know, the glory fills. And there ain't no room for anything else in you but God and God Himself. And next thing you know, friend, you're going to fall flat on your face. You're going to fall flat on the pavement. You're going to fall flat and bow yourself down. And you're going to say, the flesh is over. The flesh is done. I've done crucified it. I've done died daily. I've done went away. My flesh is not in control. My flesh is not leading me. My flesh is not directing me. My flesh is gone. It's the Spirit of God. It's the presence of God. And tonight, can I say to you, where the presence of God is, there's the power of God. And where the power of God is, there's the peace of God. And when there's peace of God, friend, there's the passion of God. Where there's a passion of God, friend, there's the very love of God, and there's the very way of God, and there's the very path of God. See, we want to rehabilitate our flesh by the way of patches. There's something wrong with our churches, Brother Gary, when people who say that they're saved and they're born again. And they're members of a church tonight. And they're smoking cigarettes, and they're dipping snuff, and they're chewing tobacco, and they're watching pornography, and they're looking at women as they walk down the road, and they're ones who are adulterers and fornicators tonight. Friend, what is wrong with the membership of our churches tonight when them are the members? Something's wrong, right? I know what you're probably thinking. Well, Brother Larry, they need to be saved. They're supposed to be saved. They're members of the church. You know what's wrong? The very fact is that the flesh has not been surrendered. And the flesh will never be surrendered until the glory fills. And the glory will never fill until the fire falls. And the fire will never fall until you pray. Does Calvary Baptist Church really want revival? Is that true? Let's go back tonight. I want you to look at the Spirit tonight. The Spirit. Not only did the flesh surrender, but the Spirit stand in awe. The Bible says that He came flat on their faces upon the pavement and worshipped. The Spirit. Now, not the flesh. The flesh is surrendered. Now the Spirit was standing in awe. The Spirit of God within you. Whenever that fire, when that glory filled you, man, all that you could do is just stand in awe. That's all you could do. That's what the word worship would mean tonight. Stand in awe. Oh, Lord, how great you are. What a Savior. Man, what a lover of my soul. A forgiver of my sin. Oh, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. Oh, the lily of the valley. Oh, the rose of Sharon. Oh, the captain of my salvation. Oh, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. All I know is I'm in awe. That's worship. The Spirit, the flesh. And thirdly, friend, the heart. The heart will shout. The Bible says, next thing they did was they shouted. The Bible says, and praise the Lord, saying, for He is good and His mercy endureth forever. Where's the shouts in the Baptist church? Where's the shouts at? Amen? Do you know why there's not much shouting going on in the house of God anymore? Because there's not much worship anymore. You know why there's not much worship anymore? Because there's too much flesh. You know why there's too much flesh? Because there's not enough fire. You know why there ain't enough fire? Because there ain't no glory. You know why all that's taking place? Because we're not praying. Oh, you know where revival comes back to? You. Do you really want revival, Calvary? So, what happened? 1 Samuel chapter 4. The glory departed. Now, don't turn here, but I'm going to read this to you because I'm about to close. What happened? Well, back in our text in chapter 4, the first Samuel, the glory departed from Israel. Now, why did that happen? We already talked about how to get the glory, and we'll hope you understand that well. Chapter 4, verse 21 says that the glory departed. But I want you to notice there in chapter 3, though. Look at chapter 3, and it's going to give us a good indication of what happened. Chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." James chapter 4, verse 17 says this, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and do it not, to him it is sin." You know what happened? Can I tell you what happened tonight? Why the glory departed? It was the sin of doing nothing. And you know why Calvary Baptist Church and Glory Baptist Church will not experience revival? Because of the same sin. The mistake that we'll make tonight to not have revival is to know to do good. And not to do it. And to him it is sin.
That's good.
The sin of not doing nothing. That's what happened.
Amen.
Exactly what happened. He didn't restrain his children. He knew. He knew he ought to restrain his children, but he didn't tonight. Can I say to you, this is what happens to most churches tonight. They have to manufacture their worship.
Yes, sir.
Because they're in the sin of doing nothing. Do you know tonight that many churches have to manufacture their worship? They got to have plays, they got to have dramas, they got to have music, they got to have live illustrations in order to manufacture worship. You know why? Because worship don't come because of the fire and the glory. Because of the sin of doing nothing. They have to motivate the flesh through games and groups and sessions and dances and cheerleading and sports. They have to mimic the world through organization and fashions and fads and entertainment and business-like. They got to be moved with convenience. Less services, joint services, services at lunch and a service. And they got to have home services. And why is all that about? I'll tell you why it's about. The sin of doing nothing. Tonight, can I say, failing to do something right is wrong. Failing to do something right is wrong. Tonight, can I say that if you do something bad, it's as evil as not doing something good? Can I say to you tonight that knowledge without action is no good? Can I say to you, you can live a moral life and be wrong with God? Does that make sense tonight? Tonight, can I say you can have a Christian head and not have a Christian life or have a Christian heart? And the reason why tonight is because to know to do good and not to do it to him is sin. Eli was the one who brought the glory of departing out of Israel because he knew to do good and he did not do it. And to him it was sin, and God sent forth the glory of God. Eli was a parent, represents the home. Eli was a priest, represents the church. Eli was a judge, represents the nation. Now tonight, it was Eli that didn't restrain his children that was the sin of not doing good. What is yours? What is yours tonight? What is it? I know you're ready to go, but I'm not. Tonight, to know to do good in your home and not to do it to him is sin. I don't know what your sin is tonight that you're not doing that you know you need to do, but you're doing that is a sin of not doing anything which causes revival not to come. It might be bearing children. It might be correcting children. It might not be restraining your children. It might be spouses tonight not treating each other right. You know you ought to treat each other right. You ought to know you ought to talk to each other right. You know you ought to hug and love and care, but you don't do it. You know you ought to do it, but you don't do it. That's sin. How about not only treating spouses and correcting children, but in your home of providing the house for? You know, as a husband, you ought to provide for your home. Provide spiritually. Provide physically. Provide financially. Provide emotionally. Provide mentally. You're the leader. You know to do that, but you're not doing it. It's sin tonight, and you're the cause of no revival. How about if you're a wife? And you know that to love your husband. You know to submit to your husband. You know to reverence your husband. You know to follow your husband. But you're not doing it. And friend, to you to know that and not to do it, it is sin. And that causes revival not to come. Mistake of no revival. The sin of doing nothing. How about tonight, as he was in his home, how about in the church tonight? To know to do good in your church and not to do it. To him, it is sin tonight. Hey, as a member tonight, as a member of Calvary Baptist Church, to know it, to read your Bible, to meditate upon your Bible, to study your Bible, it's the thing to do. And you don't do it, it's sin. As a member, you know to pray. You know to supplicate. You know to intercede. But to know to do it and don't do it, to him it is sin. As a member, to witness and testify and to preach and to know to do it and not to do it, to him, it is sin. I just wonder how many people in this room is so excited about revival, they ask one person to come to revival tonight. One witness tonight. One, somebody ask somebody, a family member, a friend, anybody, everybody. Robin, bring your dog if you want to. We'll set him out there. Know to do good and not to do it. How about as a member to give your money, to give your tithe and your offerings, to manifest your gifts that God's given you. Every one of us got gifts that God's given us, spiritual gifts. And you are to manifest your gifts and have your gifts to go forward in this church or the talents that God's given you. You can be able to sing and play. You might have talents with children. You might have talents doing this and that and the other. That can be a real blessing to the church. You know to do good and you don't do it, to him it is sin. This is what mistake for no revival. Whether it's in your home. It started in Eli's home. It went to the church. But how about to a member? To pray for one another. To love one another. To serve one another. To confess your faults one to another. To be tenderhearted to one another. To forgive one another. For these are things that we know to do. But to them that don't do it, it is sin. Oh, how about tonight? To know to do good in your as a citizen of the nation and country in which we live. And don't do it. To him it is sin. To obey the laws. To vote. To honor our nation's flag. To pray for our leaders. To stand up against sin like homosexuality and abortion. To stand up against communism, socialism. To stand up and put prayer back in our schools and the Bible back into our courtrooms. What is it tonight that you know to do good and not doing it, and to you it is sin, but it's a mistake that revival can't come to Calvary? What's the bottom line? Here's the bottom line. Eli knew to do it. He didn't. Death came. His two sons died. He died. His daughter-in-law died. You know, tonight, if we don't do more than what we're doing, church, you know, one of the things about the Baptist church is that we've got to expect more than we're expecting to expect something to happen. Does that make sense? You've got to expect more than what you're expecting for anything to happen. Or we're going to face death. Death of this church, death of us, death of this ministry, death of this testimony, death of everything about us tonight will come to death unless we change. The second thing of the bottom line was there was defeat. The Bible says in this story that the Ark of God was taken. And when the Ark of God was taken, there was no more victories for Israel. There was no more wins for Israel. There was no more success for Israel. And tonight, if you and I cannot get our stuff together And the fact that, no, we want to talk about, you know, we can say we don't drink no more, we don't cuss no more, we don't do this no more. But yeah, but there's things that you know to do good and you don't do them. To him, it is sin tonight. Those things are just as evil as those other things tonight. And it's going to cause you to be defeated. You're going to be defeated. You're not going to get up. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be defeated. You're going to be out. But you're going to find yourself wanting drugs and wanting psychiatry and psychiatrists. You're going to want counseling. You're going to want to get in a dark room. You're going to get in a rubber room. You're going to want to get away. That'd be like a bird with a flare, with wings and just fly off like David was. And friend, you want to go off and hide somewhere. Friend, you better come to the conclusion tonight that your best state is that God fill this house with His glory and the fire would come. Death is coming, if not. Defeat is coming, Brother Gary. And lastly, departure. The Bible says that the glory of God departed from Israel. No more presence of God. No more power. No more peace. No more passion. No more praise. There is why we don't have revival. Oh, tonight as our heads are bowed and we stand to our feet, what's the mistake tonight that we can go? I believe tonight the altars ought to be full because there's everybody in this room that they know to do good. And there's things in your life that you're not doing it. To you, it is sin tonight. It's time we get confession and time to us.